Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Brian Kilmeade coming up tomorrow on the show at 3:25. Of course, we are appointed toward a Reardon Roundtable on Friday at 3. Jane Duker on the panel. State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman. State Representative Steve Butts all here on Friday afternoon. A little bit later this hour, Paul Morrow, who is a retired NYPD inspector, Fox News contributor, attorney, and the founder of theopsdesk.org, will talk about some of the Trump jury selection in New York and the pro-Gaza demonstrators and protesters blocking bridges. I know Paul has some opinions about that, and I will have an audio cut of the day as well. We have Joe Arnold visiting with us in just a short time. He's got some great thoughts on Whitey Herzog, longtime Louisville broadcaster who grew up here in the Metro East. And right now, I mentioned this story a little bit at the end of the last hour about Jonte Porter. Jonte and his brother Michael were at the University of Missouri for just a couple of seconds. That was a little controversial. But now, Jonte Porter has been banned forever, apparently, by the NBA because of gambling allegations, and I think they kind of got him when they looked at the details here. Alex Gold is with Kansas City 610 Sports Radio. He's been awesome weighing in from the other side of the state on some of these issues and unfortunately on the Chiefs shooting, etc. Alex, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, good, Mark. It's always good to be out with you guys.
The thing that I think of here, and we can kind of go over what they investigated and what they discovered here with Jonte Porter is, and I'm a fan of sports wagering, Alex, you know that, and I wish we could get it done here in Missouri, but this is what everyone was kind of always worried about, and you'd be hard-pressed to convince me that Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, they're all sitting in meetings here the last couple of days saying, oh my God, do we have enough safeguards here?
No doubt. This is the biggest fear, you know, of all these leagues. I think you're right. And if you were going to ask and get a real honest answer from every commissioner and anybody involved with these leagues, is the perception or the reality, whatever you want to believe, of the integrity of these sports games and these leagues, I should say, you know. And I think this situation, on one hand, you can look at it and say, hey, sports betting being legalized everywhere is what is contributing to this actually happening. On the other hand, I don't think we find out about Jonte Porter without a legalized sports betting market, right? That's what the red flag was waved.
Yep, that's true.
And so that's how I kind of approach it. You know, I recognize that there are still some safeguards and that need to be increased and some things we can talk about. But we don't know about Jonte Porter and these bets that ultimately have got him banned from the league if it's not for, I think it was DraftKings in this instance, and another operator that said, wait a second, there's something not right here.
Yeah, a couple of the details. So they investigated, they revealed that Jonte himself placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account. The bets range from $15 to $22,000, totaling $54,000. The NBA said the payout was $76,000. The net winnings were $21,900. None of the bets involved any in which Porter played. Three of the bets were parlays, including one that included a bet on the Raptors to lose. All three bets lost, according to the NBA. But the other details here was that, you know, there was somebody that placed an $80,000 same game parlay bet that featured unders on Jonte Porter statistics, would have won $1.1 million. But I don't know if it's the software or whatever kind of fishes that out and said, this is weird, right? And that's how they stopped it.
Right. And Mark, here's the thing. I mean, if you were to put together kind of the example of the most obvious sketch type of betting on a sports team or player, this was it. I mean, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing he got caught. It obviously is a great thing he got caught. But man, oh man, I mean, this was as dumb as it gets, though, in terms of going about if you were to try to do this. Jontae Porter is a fringe NBA player, number one. Number two, we're talking about player props. We're talking about a huge dollar amount for a pretty obscure player in the league. I mean, right away, that's just going to set off some alarms all the way across the board. And, you know, the one note you mentioned there where there was a wager in which betting against his own team to lose. I mean, right there, that's the biggest fear right there from the NBA perspective.
So, you know, I think there have been, Alex, some proposals out there. I'm a free market libertarian guy, but, you know, I see that there's some concerns about this. I thought I saw someone talking, maybe it was even someone on Capitol Hill, talking about perhaps limiting some of the props in collegiate sports in particular. I mean, that doesn't cover what happened here with Jontae Porter, but what are your thoughts on that?
So this might surprise people that listen, as someone that is also very much pro sports wagering and letting people have the opportunity to do that. I think college player props is definitely something that needs to be looked at.
You know,
the difference between a pro here, you know, we're talking about an 18, 19 year old kid in college, one way more susceptible to getting in touch with someone that
Absolutely.
Can skew the line a little bit versus someone that's making millions of dollars. The other part is, you know, the NCAA is really concerned about the harassment that a lot of these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that are playing college ball are getting. I mean, we're talking about direct messages on social media, threatening, harassing. I mean, this just is disgusting. And that, to me, is my biggest reason why I actually think they need to take a look at the college side of player props.
Well, so we agree on that. And here again, we're both kind of proponents of this, but there could be some limitations, restrictions. You know, I don't know if I talked about this on the air yesterday, but I had a listener, this is separate but related, I had a listener that had emailed me. They're going to the Kentucky Derby in a couple of weeks, and they knew I'd been to like 15, 16 derbies. The last few years when I have placed wagers, including the last derby I attended in person at Churchill Downs, and this is why the person was asking. They even tell you at Churchill Downs, if you want to avoid the lines, download the Twin Spires app. Well, even though you can't use DraftKings and some of these other ones on the Missouri side or in Missouri right now, Twin Spires I've been able to use with no problem for maybe 5 or 6 years. So when that person emailed me yesterday, I thought, well, that's weird. I went onto my account, signed in, sure enough, they shut it down. So the geofencing wasn't there to begin with, but obviously somebody cracked down on Twin Spires.
Yeah, I've heard of Twin Spires. My understanding, because that came up even on the Kansas side at one point in time while they were trying to legalize sports wagering. And I think they got around some old language at one point in legislation of, you know, basically back with almost the daily fantasy types when fantasy football and all that became a hot topic. I don't know. It's probably been 15 years at this point. But that was just some old language is why Twin Spires has been able to or was able to operate in some of these states that haven't had legal sports wagering. They kind of got around it.
Well, I'm disappointed because now I got to send same thing I've been doing for NFL bets and everything else. I send it to Las Vegas, right? Unfortunately,
right.
And that's where the money's going. And they, you know, I saw some handicapping of this. We haven't even really talked about it, Alex, in the legislative session on my show because they're just not going to get it done again in Missouri.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it isn't. Yeah. It's not going to happen. I don't think it's even going to make it to the Senate floor this year. But I don't know if you probably are aware of today. I just put something out earlier this morning and the campaign for that ballot initiative. I think they've reached over 300,000 signatures now. They need 180,000, but they still have to get 8% of registered voters in Missouri from 6 of the 8 congressional districts. But that's the best chance for those that are listening that want sports wagering to happen in Missouri. The best path is for this thing to get on the ballot and to let Missourians decide in November.
Yeah, and I think it will pass. And look, you have people, this is what disgusts me about lawmakers, and it's on both sides, so I'm not just picking on one party, but they don't have the intestinal fortitude because let me tell you something, you probably know this too. A lot of these people who won't cast a vote for sports wagering, they're fine with it, but they mm-hmm. they think there's political risk there, so they don't want to do it on their own, and that's kind of disappointing, more than disappointing. But Alex, thank you so much for weighing in here this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.